This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
And welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm sitting in for Grace. My name is Toby Leary, and if you want to talk to me, you can call 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. And I just want to be considerate of those who have been holding on the phones for so long. So, Jim, you're next on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Toby, thanks for taking my call. Some years back, I bought a 50-cal Thompson Center with a nice 3x9 scope on it by Bushnell. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if I can take that scope off and put it on my 308. I've been told that they can't handle the impact of the recoil from a high-powered rifle. Is there any truth to that?
I would say if it's sufficient for a 50 cal black powder rifle, which has plenty of recoil, it would definitely be sufficient for a 308. I don't think 308 has significantly sharper recoil than a Thompson Center 50 caliber muzzleloader. So you should be fine on that. I can't imagine it wouldn't be rated for that. Generally speaking, most modern scopes are rated for centerfire recoil as long as it doesn't explicitly say rimfire on it or something like that. So I stand to believe that you'd be fine with that, Jim. You should be able to do that, no problem. And let's also shoot over to Craig. Go ahead, Craig. You're next on The Grace Curley Show.
Toby, on Tuesday, a fellow called up saying that he got his guns and ammo confiscated because of the red flag law. That law is unique in the fact that you're guilty until you're proven innocent. I joined the U.S. Law Shield because of that. Mm. But do you think down the road that may be appealed, the law?
Yeah, I think it will ultimately in some way, shape, or form. I think it has to be, honestly, because you're 100% right that is one of those situations where you are guilty until proven innocent. And in some cases, you could be red flagged without any knowledge of that happening. So that violates the equal protection under the law. You have a right to confront your accusers. You can have a right to a speedy trial, or you have a right to redress of government. So all of this is taken off the table as far as constitutional settled law, and it is an extra, outside of constitutional law, provision put in there under the guise of safety, making it safe. But I want to tell you that prior to these red flag laws, every state in the union had some sort of provision or regulation or law on a book that if someone was a threat, an overt threat to somebody or themselves, that police could take action. There wasn't, they didn't need to go to a court, against your knowledge and all this. There was provisions in the law to deal with it. This is a new turn of events where you are 100% guilty until proven innocent, and you have to prove your innocence. And sometimes that's impossible because it's your word against somebody else's. So it comes down to believability. It's, does the court deem that you are a believable witness or not? They might believe the other person. And most judges don't want to have on their conscience, if you will, a denial of any type of restraining order or red flag law order where, the person was in fact, making these overt threats and went out and had a mass shooting event or killed themselves or their family or something like that. So they're always going to err on the side of caution. And, they're not going to take a chance with it. even though they didn't need to have these red flag laws enacted. But if you don't, if you read down into the minutia of all this, you'll see that it's far more nefarious. It is a very slippery slope. And again, you wouldn't tolerate it with any of your other rights being treated this way or trampled this way. So I think under that, those auspices, that it'll have to ultimately be challenged in court. And my heart goes out to the gentleman who called yesterday on Tuesday, because that was my biggest fear. And that's what all gun owners' biggest fear is, that somebody will use this as a weapon against them, whether it's your neighbor or, you know, a family member that doesn't approve of you having firearms. So, yeah.
And Toby, as I understand it now, for the red flag law, there is no punishment or no consequence for the person who basically invokes the red flag on somebody else, correct?
There is in some states, but how do you prove it, right? So that's the thing. It's kind of like proving collusion. Like, you have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was somebody colluding with other people. And, or, you know, in this case, you'd have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that a family member wanted to just spitefully get after you. And how do you prove that? It's really comes down to word against word. And that's a very difficult thing to prove. And you bring something up that's a very good point, Jared, because that was what I always used to say. Like, I almost bought into this and said, as long as there's like a gazillion-dollar fine against someone who uses this inappropriately, well, again, they're not gonna ever side on that and say, oh, so and so heard you say this to this person and thought you were gonna shoot them, so therefore they red flagged you. And oops, my mistake, sorry. But you have to prove that they were doing it maliciously or willfully. And that's a very, very difficult thing to prove. In fact, it's a whole lot harder to prove than the threshold level needed to convince somebody to come take your guns, which is crazy if you think about it. But Jim, you are next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Toby. I had a question about if you inherit firearms from a relative that passed away, and those firearms are registered in their name, and then you, so say you, now that you have them, but they're not registered in your name, are they still legal?
Yeah, they're still legal, and you have a provision in the law of how much time you have to make that arrangements for them to be registered in your name. So I would just recommend you go ahead on the EFA-10 portal. Just Google EFA-10. It's the Massachusetts Gun Transaction Portal. And again, this is very specific to Massachusetts for our listeners out of state that are laughing at us right now. Because in every other state, it's pretty obvious what you do, right? Your loved ones die, they give you the guns, and you're good to go. Like, as long as you're not a prohibited person, that's the end of it. But here in Massachusetts, you got to go on the EFA-10 portal and choose whichever registration process is appropriate. And sometimes in the case of the deceased, if their license was no longer valid or their it expired, et cetera, it could be very difficult to do it as an inheritance, but you can always just do it as a registration option. So hopefully that helps, Jim, but that's what you got to do in order to be compliant with the law in this wonderful state. So, because this makes everybody safer, obviously, right? Government that needs to know exactly what I have at all times, including the guns I sold years ago, by the way, makes me a little nervous. What is their end game here? Why are they so worried about what I have in my possession as a responsible gun owner? But I digress. Walter, go ahead. You're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Walter.
I'm confused by an answer that you gave somebody that called in on Tuesday. I spoke to my police department about concealed carry,
mm-hmm.
and they said to me that in Massachusetts we don't have concealed carry. You either have unrestricted or restricted. And they said that if you have unrestricted, you can wear the gun as a hat as you want, so long as you're not brandishing it or threatening anybody. But you said that you had to conceal it.
Okay.
Which is it?
You don't have to conceal it under state law. the guy gave you correct advice. We do not differentiate in the law concealed or unconcealed. And I've said that many times, so if I led you down the wrong path, I apologize. But we absolutely do not differentiate between open carry or concealed carry. What I did say was along the lines of what your chief told you, if somebody thinks you are threatening or brandishing the weapon in a threatening way, you're going to be answering for why you have a gun on your hip if you choose to open carry. And that's, I say the juice isn't worth the squeeze in that regard, so concealed carry it. Because there's, number one, no tactical advantage to wearing a gun outside where the rest of the world can see it. In fact, I just watched a video yesterday where a guy had his open carry gun taken off him in a convenience store, and then the perp ran out the front door with his gun. Guy standing there, you know, defenseless after he's trying to buy a pack of smokes or whatever, and his gun's taken off him. I think it's a bad idea tactically. So that's where I was getting at as far as my advice to somebody would be to conceal it. But constitutionally, you have a right to open carry, and this state is no different. Some states you cannot open carry, but Massachusetts doesn't differentiate. So hopefully I cleared that up for you, Walter. I know it's clear as mud, and I'm pretty good at making things a little muddier. But anyway, Jared, what do you got for us over there?
Well, I talked about it before that my 401k lost 42%.
Ouch.
Yeah. And actually, somebody texted in that their 403b is down $75,000 in real money.
Ouch.
So it is not good right now because of what? Well, because of inflation, because of Joe Biden, because of a recession, because of Joe Biden. Higher interest rates, Joe Biden. Wall Street is in a downturn and it's taking your retirement money with it. We are in a financial storm and the global economy is weakening. And if you need to hedge to protect your retirement so you don't lose any more money, that's why our friends at Monetary Gold would like to send you two free guides. One is called 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months, and the other is called the 2022 Monetary Gold Protection Guide. These are free guides that will show you how to protect your assets and get through this financial crisis. Because when the economy was similar to this back in the high inflation of the 70s, gold increased in value by 2,300%. And today you can buy physical gold or silver and roll over your IRA or 401k retirement account. Gold and silver can help you diversify your risk and protect your retirement in these uncertain times. So call Monetary Gold now to get your two free guides. That number is 800-267-6500. 800-267-6500. Again, 800-267-6500. Or you could go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace. Visit them now. Don't wait for more money to come out of your account.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
And I would agree with that. She is the midday best there is in Boston. I'm happy to be sitting in for Grace. If you want to be on the line with us today, it's 844-500-4242. Toby Leary's sitting in for the vacationing Grace Curley. And let's go to Artie, who's been on the line for a while. Go ahead, Artie.
Hey, Toby, how you doing?
Very good,
quick
thanks.
Question. I just ordered a Glock 22 out of state. It's going to FFL, but it has a 15-round mag in it. And it's a Gen 2, so it's pre-banned. Am I able to receive that or get it shipped in, or will I have a problem?
As long as the magazine was made prior to 94, it's not a problem. So, you know, we have a pre-ban. So September 13th, 1994 is when the federal ban went into effect. Any magazine made prior to that is good to go. So you're, as long as it was a Gen 2 Glock and it was a pre-94 magazine with it, then you should be good to go.
I think that's true, but what is your serial number or something about the way the marking so they can tell if it's a pre-ban?
Yes, there is ways of determining whether the magazine was made prior to then or not. It's you got to know what to look for, unfortunately. There's a bunch of good websites dedicated to it or images on Google search if you want to look at it. But any of the U-notch mags are definitely pre-ban. A couple of the square-notch mags were pre-ban as well. And it'll only have the magazine notch on one side of the magazine. But the good news is, you know, again, it's up to the government to prove it's not. So, you know, I would make sure that it is for your sake. But on the other hand, it's up to them to prove it's not. And so that's the burden of proof is on them to prove it's not. But and so chances are if it's the original mag to the gun, it probably is a pre-ban mag. So and if it's getting transferred into a gun store, they should be able to tell you whether it is or isn't. So hopefully that works for you. Thanks for the call, Artie. 844-500-4242 is the number. 844-500-4242. And I know this is a much bigger topic than we have time for right now, but I wanted to play Cut 38. I don't know if anyone picked up on this yesterday, but Biden was given a speech, and he gave us some interesting news. Cut 38 on the big list was about his son dying in Iraq. Do you see that one, Jared? No? All right, we'll come back to that. It's a bigger topic anyway, but, you know, we all thought that Joe Biden's son had passed away from brain cancer. That's what he's been telling us for a while, and yesterday he came out with a doozy, and you don't see a 38? Okay, so he dropped a bombshell on the nation yesterday and told us, in fact, that his son had lost his life in all right, he's got it. Go ahead.
Just imagine, I mean it sincerely, I say this as a father of a man who won the Bronze Star, the Conspicuous Service Medal, and lost his life in Iraq. Imagine the courage, the daring, and the genuine sacrifice they all made.
Hmm. I'd shed a tear with you, Joe, except the fact of the matter is that's called stolen valor, because Bo, as far as the rest of the world knew before yesterday's press conference or, you know, speech, that Bo had actually lost his life to cancer, and which is also a tragedy. We're not minimizing that, but the fact remains, why would you go out on a limb with saw in hand and then start cutting the limb when it's so easily disproven? Or is this a sign that you are actually slipping off the plate a little bit? Which we already know. We already know the answer to that one. But are you now saying that you think your son was killed in Iraq? Like, I don't get it. So you're either a liar.
Biden's losing it.
You're either a liar, you're losing it, or you just want to be counted as a gold star father because you're missing that type of recognition. I don't know. Only you can answer that, Joe. And we don't, I mean, I know we can answer it, but truly we're speculating at that point. And there's a theory out there about this, especially with these interviews, like with Tapper, when he misspoke or when he goes out there and shakes hands with ghosts and looks lost and wanders around and you know, has his gaffe machine on full throttle. That is this going to be the defense argument if, in fact, Hunter Biden is charged with some sort of crime and there's an investigation going, and, you know, we're still waiting to see if Weiss is going to indict him and charge him formally, which I guess Merrick Garland has to formally sign off on. So there's a lot of moving parts about whether justice will be had or if you just don't F with a Biden. Because that's really what's at stake here. The whole world is watching. Is there a two-tier justice system? I think we all know the answer to this, but now it's on full display. And it's a rhetorical question, but what's going to happen? And now does he have a defense that he's slipping off the plate? We'll see. And we'll be back after this. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm sitting in for Grace. I'm Toby Leary, and I'll be here with you today, tomorrow, and Monday. Give Grace a couple days off. She's all excited to be out in Ireland, which I'm a little jealous. I was going to tell her where to go and what to see, give her some advice, but the last time I was there, I think I was 4 years old, and all I can remember is the smell of my uncle's butcher shop, so...
Yeah, that is unique. My grandfather worked in a tannery, and I remember that smell. It's unique, shall we say.
Yes, yes, it is. But that brings us to the poll question. That's a good segue.
It certainly is. It's not a great smell there, but it's awesome when it's on the grill or in the cast iron skillet, not going to lie.
True. What is the poll question today, Jared, and what are the results thus far?
The poll question is bank account cancel culture here to stay? Yay or nay for Kanye or Kanye?
I'm going to go with Kanye. Unfortunately, I would like to side with the optimists in the nay column.
Yes, 64% still say Kanye, and only 36% say Kanye. And the poll question is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Fall is in the air, and Omaha Steaks has everything you need for your delicious cookouts and hearty meals. It's the perfect time to stock up when you take advantage of the 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. Plus, you can get $30 off your order at omahasteaks.com when you use code GRACE at checkout. A minimum order may be required in order to get the discount.
It sounds good to me. All right. Well, for those of you who don't know, there was a debate on last night on NBC 10. It was the gubernatorial debate between Jeff Deal and Maura Healey. We have some cuts from that. I want to play it and kind of get through it. And let's jump right at it. What the heck? I'm not going to take too much time to tee it up here, but let's see how Maura Healey started off the debate last night. So play cut two.
Can you explain why, in your opinion, a Jeff Deal administration is not the right choice for the Bay State?
Well, thank you, LaToya, and thank you for hosting us here this evening. Look, this is really clear in this election. My opponent is Donald Trump's candidate for governor.
Wow, that didn't take long, did it?
That was like the big gun. That was the big card in the deck.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she played it so early. She went back to it, don't worry.
Right.
But I'm surprised she played it so early.
The Trump card came out early and often. But play cut three and see what Deal had to say about that.
Ms. Healey, that's your time. Thank you so much. This next question is for both candidates. Mr. Deal, I see you want to jump.
Rebuttal on the...
Yeah, sure.
So I just want to say, you're going to hear about Donald Trump because it's Halloween time, and that's her boogeyman. That's what the media likes to talk about, is Donald Trump. It's a distraction from what's important for this race. What's important for this race is making sure that our households are able to afford to live that American dream right here in Massachusetts. And so we're going to make sure that this debate is about Massachusetts tonight and not about national politics. Although, if we want to talk national politics, Joe Biden, the person that you supported, is leaving us right now in an economic disaster just 2 years into the job. His cutting off the XL pipeline, your blocking two natural gas pipelines, is hurting families in Massachusetts right now.
Ouch, that one actually stung, and I thought it was a very good response. I think it was very sharp rebuke of the fact that we know where this debate is headed, right? We know what she's going to say. And that I hate that argument. Like, I have friends like that, you know, you bring up something or other, oh, it's Trump. It's like, that's their
Everybody's
answer.
Always blaming me for everything.
That's right. Like, and that doesn't work, because I think people are seeing it now that... Was life better under Trump administration versus the Biden administration? If you don't say yes, you're lying to yourself and to others. Or you're just in complete and utter denial, or you've lost your mind. I don't know which it is. But the point is, I think you could point to some amazing accomplishments, but why... do that when you can just sit here and argue the merits of who's going to be a better governor for Massachusetts. But I digress. Let's see what she went on to say. Cut four.
My opponent wants to take away minimum wage. My opponent wants to take away health care. And we are going to talk about Donald Trump, because a few weeks ago, you had Donald Trump supporting you in the primary. You ran Donald Trump's campaign. You have said, including in this race, that you will have Donald Trump's back 100% of the time. That's not who we are or where we need to go in Massachusetts. We need somebody who's going to lead us, who's going to bring us together, and who's going to deliver for the people of the state. And it's clear in this race who's capable of doing just that.
Well, first of all, she dusted off the old playbook. Republicans want to, you know, make kill old people and starve children and make you cold in your house during the winter. She pulls out, wants to take away minimum wage, wants to bring the, you know, living wage down to the poverty level and healthcare. Let's not forget, you know, Jeff Deal wants to make sure that you can't afford to go to the doctor and you can't pay a medical bill. Like that's like, I am so sick of that retread of a playbook, you know, that it's fear mongering, it's fear tactics. And I hope people don't believe it, because if anything, Republicans have a rich history of going too far with Democrats in, you know, giving them what they want. They don't really fight it. They're like, oh, okay. Especially, you know, you see Mitch McConnell nowadays in the Senate, like, oh, another $60 billion. Okay, yeah, no problem. Go ahead. Just print some more money. The printing presses will go whirr, you know. And so anyway, let's go to cut number. Well, I guess we got to tee it up with cut number 5. So go ahead.
Mr. Deal, dozens of viewers wrote to us about this. You have said that the 2020 presidential election was, quote, rigged, and that, quote, it definitely was an election that was stolen from Donald Trump. A year ago, you called on Governor Baker to conduct a forensic audit to investigate, quote, possible irregularities in that election. Do you still believe that Donald Trump won the 2020 election?
Allison, obviously Joe Biden won the election. Look at how bad the economy is right now. The fact of the matter is I've had concerns with the election nationally. 5 states had issues with mail-in balloting. In fact, right here in Massachusetts, we saw that 11,000 people attempted to do mail-in balloting and vote in person at the same time. So I felt like there was the potential for election fraud. What we're also opening ourselves up to is major election fraud issues if we allow driver's licenses for people who are here illegally. Because as even Charlie Baker said when he vetoed that legislation, if people are allowed to get a driver's license, the 2020 motor voter law registers them automatically to vote. That is something that could cause major problems with our elections for the future. So that's something I think we need to block.
Yeah, that's a very big concern of mine. And you look at like Colorado, just the Secretary of State there sent out ballots to, I think it was 30,000 illegal aliens, right? Or something like that. It was a staggering amount. And they're like, oops, sorry, that wasn't supposed to happen. Just kidding. Like, we got caught. But, oh, darn it, that happened again. Sorry, I pressed the wrong button. I was supposed to press registered voters only, and instead I pressed the illegal alien gets ballots button on that machine. That won't happen again. And he brings up a good point. Like, I would have just ended the argument with like, hey, have you guys seen 2,000 Mules yet? Okay, go see that movie and then come talk to me. But on the other hand, he gave them a legitimate answer, and much more so than I would have. And, you know, like, don't believe your lying eyes here, because there's nothing to see here. It's the most safe and secure election in our history. Meanwhile, the SJC is striking down mail-in ballots in several states. Same-day registration has been deemed unconstitutional. They've been given, restricting voting machines in some states, the Dominion ones and whatever. And then you got that Connect CEO arrested because he's storing election information on Chinese servers. It's just unbelievable that there is overwhelming evidence that there was some serious problems to our election. And yet people are still want to like pin them down and say, you're one of those Trumpers that want to say that the election was stolen, don't you? So anyway, go ahead and play cut 6 real quick.
So to be clear, you do think Joe Biden is the legitimate president. Given the divisiveness of that and your leadership role in Massachusetts, have you done anything to correct the record among your Republican colleagues who feel otherwise?
Look, I think everybody understands the stakes of what Joe Biden's presidency is. They understand he's in. And obviously, I think people are now focused on 2024 and making sure that we correct the mistake of having a president that clearly lost control of the economy, lost control of foreign policy. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing who is and will maybe support that candidate from the Republican side.
Go ahead and play cut. Next cut there, Jared.
And just one quick follow-up. As a former campaign co-chair for Donald Trump, obviously you're a strong supporter. Have you learned anything about the former president regarding classified documents, January 6 hearings, or anything that have caused you this past year to question your support?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned January 6th. That was obviously something that never should have happened. But, you know, there's a lot of focus on that. Very little focus from the media on what happened in 2020 with the riots across the entire United States. Okay, when there were cities burning, Portland, Minneapolis, even in Boston, on Tremont Street, you had a police cruiser on fire. 9 officers went to the hospital after being shot at. And my opponent was asked during a Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce meeting what she thought about what was going on. She said, yes, America's burning, but that's how forests grow. That is something that is so divisive, and nobody ever seems to be talking about that. It's at a time when our country needed to come together and stop the rioting. She was spurring that on by talking about, yeah, it's okay. That's how democracy works in our country. That's not how it works. That's a dangerous statement.
And listen to this word salad response that Healy gives. And I think Jeff nailed it right there when he said, he pointed out her words about, yes, our cities are burning, but that is how forests grow. That right there is more seditious and undermining than anything Donald Trump ever said on January 6th when he said we're going to peacefully march over to the Capitol and let our voices be heard. Peacefully being the operative word there. That is, you know, what they have impeached him for. And now we're watching the latest round of January 6th committee proceedings underway, which is a total sham. It is a total one-sided, theatrical presentation by those who can't stand Donald Trump or hate, make America great ideology. But listen to the word salad response that Maura gives.
Ms. Healy, rebuttal for you.
I mean, seriously, Jeff, I'm the attorney general. I've been the chief law enforcement officer of our state for 8 years. I work closely with law enforcement. I do not condone violence. As you said, that was maybe a poor choice of words at a business breakfast where I was talking about a lot of difficult things going on in the country and the need. It was really a metaphor for the need to come together to work on things. But look, I want to be clear with the voters, okay? My opponent, I hope you vote for me, but let's be clear about who we are. My opponent has said recently that he backs Donald Trump 100% of the time. He has said he wants Donald Trump to be president in 2024. He chaired his presidential campaign. He continues to play from the Trump playbook and wants to bring Trumpism to Massachusetts. I will continue to talk about this, Jeff, because those are values. Those are principles. Those are ways that we have rejected time and time again.
So as we were before the show, we were talking about this and listening to some of these cuts. And I just asked Jared, I go, I know it's a lot, but how many times has Maura Healy sued Donald Trump? And he goes, it's funny you should ask that.
You, your office sued the Trump administration almost 100 times. Critics say you were politicizing the attorney general's office and wasting taxpayer dollars for partisan attacks. What do Massachusetts residents have to show for all of that time and money diverted to fighting Donald Trump?
Well, I think you have a lot. You have health care to begin with. You have important environmental regulations in place that are going to help us deal with the climate crisis that we face. I can tell you that all of those suits didn't cost the taxpayers of Massachusetts a dime and also were very important in protecting workers, protecting consumers, protecting young people, protecting dreamers. I could go on and on and on.
Not nary a nickel. It didn't cost a red nickel, Jared. They were all working pro bono. They punched out before they filed those briefs and lawsuits and, you know.
Can I see the receipts on that, please?
can I check questions. Those timesheets? Because I'd love to see that how that didn't cost us a dime. Amazing, over 100 times. But that's what you have to look forward to, folks, if you get an activist person in the corner office on Beacon Hill. Hopefully she doesn't see the light of day when it comes to our upcoming election, which is less than 30 days away. And I shudder to think what she'll do to this state if it's going to be more of the same of the Biden administration, how they've treated it. So anyway, we have the Carr crossover coming over next. So you don't want to miss it. Howie Carr will be joining me for the last segment of the show. And I look forward to that. And so I appreciate all the calls today. It was a lot of fun and I had a great time, and we'll do it all again tomorrow. But stay tuned for the car crossover, which is next.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
And once again, I am Toby Leary, sitting in for the vacationing Grace Curley, and I'm really happy for this moment when I hand the baton off to Howie Carr. So Howie, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Very good, Toby. Thanks for filling in for Grace.
My pleasure, anytime. How's the weather down in the beautiful Gunshine State?
It's been rainy today, but it's fine. It's 80 when I go down to do my laps in the pool at 6 in the morning.
It's not too bad. Not too shabby, but anyway, we were threatening to do a roulette of cuts today because you could really take a show in 20 different directions on a day like today. And so what do the listeners have to look forward to with your show today?
Well, I think we'll be talking mostly, at least at the beginning, about the inflation report coming out. You remember Brandon told us two months ago there was zero inflation. I guess that was another misstatement, kind of like the location of his son's death and how many words there are in Made in America, just the two examples. But the Democrats have immediately pivoted. The lead story now on all their organs is that they're going to subpoena Donald Trump for the January 6th hearing. This is their final Hail Mary pass. You know, the abortion hasn't worked. The January 6th hearings haven't worked. So they're just going to try to subpoena Donald Trump. It's pretty desperate strategy on their part.
Yeah, it's almost like he's luring them to, you know, he's almost daring them to do that. And you know, it's like he's egging them on, like, come on, you got this, you know what he said. But yeah, I saw that inflation 8.2%, and you know, I'm just wondering, at one point does this become a slight recession, as Joe Biden said the other night on Jake Tapper, you know, because they've still refused to acknowledge that we're in a recession.
Yeah, they're not going to acknowledge it. I mean, you know, at least, you know, when Jimmy Carter had the economy this screwed up, I mean, a lot of it was the fault of the Iranian mullahs, the overthrow of the Shah, the cutoff of oil supplies. I mean, this is all self-induced by the Democrat Party and Joe Biden. This everything was under control, even with the red Chinese flu that was imported. You know, the country's economy was in fairly decent shape. And Joe Biden came in and, you know, he disregarded the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm, or the street version, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's for sure, man. Well, I look forward to listening to you. Have a great show, Howie. I appreciate you letting me fill in, and we'll see you guys tomorrow on The Grace Curley Show.